Hello, I'm Don Mockholtz. This is Looking Up with Don, a podcast, episode number one for the week of January 1st, 2020. The related website for this podcast is donmockholtz.com. That is spelled donmockholz.com. That is two H's. So, what's up in the sky this week? When you step outside in the evening, you'll find the planet Venus in the southwest. Now, Venus will appear as a bright star-like object. It will be in our evening sky for the next 5 months. If you face the east, you'll find the constellation Orion rising. And while you're at it, look at the star Betelgeuse, the bright star on the northeast part of the constellation. As Orion is rising, it's on the lower left-hand bright star. It's a variable star and has dimmed quite a bit in the last few months. This is the faintest you'll probably see it in your whole lifetime. Orion is one of the most popular constellations in the sky, and in my many years of stargazing, I've never seen Betelgeuse to be this faint. The red giant star is about 600 light years away, and it is a very large star. So large that if it was in the place of our sun, the planets Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars would be inside of it. It would be really hot. One theory behind the reason Betelgeuse is so much fainter right now is that in the past, astronomers have observed that Betelgeuse has two different cycles for brightening and dimming. Each cycle is of a different time period. One is 425 days, and the other is 5.9 years. One theory is that both of the minima are coinciding right now, which now makes the star fainter than usual. So get out sometime in the next few weeks and take a good look at Betelgeuse. You may never see it this faint again. The moon, our moon, is moving through the evening sky this week, reaching first quarter on Thursday, January 2nd, and will be headed toward full moon next week. It continues to brighten in the evening sky. In the morning sky, we have a meteor shower this week, the Quadrantids. They peak early in the morning on Saturday, January 4th. This translates to a peak at about 3 o'clock on the east coast of the United States and midnight on the evening of Friday, January 3rd on the west coast of the United States. The peak of the shower lasts only a few hours, so if you cannot get out that night, you'll be missing most of the show. Now, the radiant for this shower, that is the location from where the meteors appear to originate from, is in the northern part of the constellation Boötes, off of the handle of the Big Dipper. This area rises as early as 10 p.m. these nights, and it climbs higher in the sky each hour. The shower is known for the short peak, and yet it's a very active shower. You might be able to see as many as 100 meteors an hour under good conditions. Now, the moon will be about 60% full, but it will be setting in the west around 1 o'clock in the morning. The meteor particles from this particular shower now appear to originate from the asteroid known as asteroid 2003 EH1. For some time, it was believed that a comet which I discovered in 1986, known today as 96P Mockholtz, was the object fully responsible for this meteor shower. Now we believe that it is the asteroid that causes a meteor shower, but the asteroid seems to be related to comet 96P and is part of something known as the Mockholtz complex. Now, the Mockholtz complex is a series of comet groups, 8 meteor showers, and at least one asteroid that are all related to the comet that I found in 1986, comet 96P Mockholtz. This week, the sun reaches its closest point to the Earth. That's January 5th. In fact, that's when we are going at our fastest speed around the sun. I bet you never thought of it that way. This week, the International Space Station may be visible in your pre-dawn skies if you live in the Northern Hemisphere, whereas if you live in the Southern Hemisphere, it will be visible in the evening sky. You can go to the website heavens-above.com to find out where and when to see not just this satellite, but many, many satellites. Once again, the website is heavens-above.com. And you enter your location, and it will tell you where to find these objects. Next month, in the month of February, we have two major star parties coming up. The Winter Star Party will be held in the Florida Keys on February 17th to 23rd. Now, back in the year 2005, I went to that star party. I gave a talk about my comet hunting program. And at that time, my 10th comet, Comet 2004 Q2, was visible in the evening sky. The Las Vegas Astronomical Society will be holding the Death Valley Star Party February 21st and 22nd. Each week I'll be giving some challenges you might wish to go out and try. The first one's for the naked eye challenge. Go outside this week and see if you can trace out the square of Pegasus. It's high in the evening sky this week. Now, the square of Pegasus is part of the constellation Pegasus, kind of between Pegasus and Andromeda. And it's made up of four moderately bright stars, forming a square about 15 degrees on each side. The moon will be just south of it on January 2nd. If you have a pair of binoculars, here's a challenge for you. Try to find these three craters on the moon on the evening of January 4th and beyond, the craters Plato, Copernicus, and Tycho. There is a moon map on my website which identifies these craters to help you find them. Now, if you have a telescope, here's a challenge for you. The double star Castor is rising in the east. It consists of six stars. It's a multiple star system, that means. And two can be easily observed at a magnification of at least 100 power with a 3-inch telescope or larger. The separation between these two stars is 6 arc seconds, and the magnitudes, they're really bright, magnitude 1.9 and 3.0. See if you can separate these two stars with your telescope. This week's fun fact: although Castor is referred to as the alpha star in the constellation Gemini, that would indicate it's the brightest star in Gemini. It is not. It's actually the second brightest star in that constellation, slightly fainter than Pollux. It was 45 years ago, on January 1st, 1975, that I began a program of systematic visual comet hunting, that is, scanning the sky, looking for new comets. I've now been out comet hunting for every one of those 540 months since then, that is at least 1 hour each month and averaging like 15 hours a month, and have accumulated over 8,400 hours of actual eye-to-eyepiece comet hunting. During that time, in these last 45 years, I've visually discovered 12 comets that bear my name. In future episodes, we'll talk more about some of these comets that I have discovered. Now, the website, once again, for this podcast is donmachholz.com. If you go to that website this week, you will find both a map of the sky, the evening sky, identifying the square of Pegasus and the star Castor. And you'll also find a moon map showing the craters that I suggest you look at with binoculars or even a telescope this week. God willing, I'll be back next week for another episode of Looking Up with Don. Among other things, we will discuss the full moon and the Starlink satellites. Thank you for listening. See the sky this week. I'll see you next week.